ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ भद्रं कर्णेभिश्रणुयामदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः शान्तिः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ In this Alatha Shanti Prakaranam, forming the fourth chapter of the Mandika Upanishad Karikas, Gaudapada Acharya presents the essence of the Vedantic teaching given in the Mandika Upanishad mantras through the analysis of three states of experience. Here, in concluding the present, in concluding the teaching of this essence of Vedanta, Vedantic teaching given in the Mandukya Mantra, Upanishad Mantras, through the analysis of three states of experience. अवस्थात्रय विचारः अवस्थात्रय विवेकः एंड ही रिड्यूसेस एवरीथिंग इनटू थ्री स्टेट्स ऑफ एक्सपीरियंस एंड ईच स्टेट ऑफ एक्सपीरियंस इन्वॉल्व्स टू फैक्टर्स ज्ञानम एंड ज्ञेयम सो व्हाट इज विश्वः We say Jnanam and Jnayam together constitute what? Vishwa Virat. Jnanam and Jnayam. Vishwa Virat is one pair of Jnanam and Jnayam. Then Taijasaha Hiranyagarbha is another state of experience. Is called another pair of Jnanam and Jnayam. Similarly, a deep sleep state is also what? A Prajnaha and Antaryamishwaraha is also nothing but another set of, a pair of Jnanam and Jnayam. So each state of experience involves a pair, a Jnanam and Jnayam. So these six factors, the two factors in each pair here, they're all subject to change. Jnanam is the subject, Jnayam is the object. Subject of experience and object of experience. The cognitions and the objects of cognitions. The experiences and the objects of experiences. So they're all subject to change, they're all time-bound in nature. And all this, the Vishwa Tajasa Prajna, Prathama Dvitiya, Tritiya Padas. All these six factors in three sets of experience, all of them are mithya, time bound. Whereas the Vijnayam, he uses the word Vijnayam to mean Turiyam. The Turiyam Chaitanyam, Turiya Atma, which is implied by the word here, Vijnanam, in these verses, alone is Satyam. He makes it very clear there. There is no reality other than Turiyam Chaitanyam. Therefore, I am the Turiyam, the Chaitanyam, which is the Brahman, the absolute reality. There is no reality other than consciousness, the Turiya Atma, which is myself, my real self. Therefore, all that is here is absolutely only Brahman, the consciousness, which is the Turiyam, which is my real self. Therefore, I am the whole. This is the vision he gives here. I told he uses the technical terms used by Yogacara Buddha as Lokottaram, Shuddham, Lokottaram, laukikam, shuddham laukikam, lokottaram. He uses three words. Then, but he uses the term vijnayam to mean puriyam chaitanyam. With that, the Mandukya Upanishad mantra teaching is also over. Which means, because he has been teaching in his karikas, elaborately discussing the teaching of the Upanishad mantras, but he does not want people to, think that it is his own teaching. He wants to remind in between, the teaching is not his own. Whatever he has given in these four chapters of so many verses, the karikas, all the four chapters is nothing, the teaching is nothing but the teaching given in the Mandukya Upanishad 12 mantras. That he wants to make it clear in these verses. Later, we have to see the, it is the 89th karika now. Jnane cha trividhe gnyehe, jnane cha trividhe gnyehe, krameṇa vidite swayam, krameṇa vidite swayam, sarvajñata hi sarvatra, sarvajñata hi sarvatra, bhavatiha mahadhyaha. So, and how to arrive at that turiyam, the consciousness? Suddenly, we cannot shift our identity from sthula shariram to consciousness, the grossest tangible physical body to the most abstract consciousness. Suddenly it is difficult to shift the I from body to consciousness. Therefore, even this is the fact. So, from the prathama pada has to be negated, dvitiya pada has to be negated, even the tritiya pada has to be negated, isn't it? Which means the jnanam and game have to be negated, and to distinguish, finally have distinguished the turiya atma, the consciousness, and you have to assimilate that. Without doubt, there must be this understanding, I is a non-substantial nama-rupa like the name and form wave. And the actual substance is the consciousness. The substance is consciousness. Just when you take the wave, how clear you are, wave is a non-substantial form, non-substantial word. Actually, water is the substance. Similarly here, the I is actually non-substantial nama-rupa. The consciousness is the substance. This understanding is what? Shifting, resolving the I sense in consciousness. It's called ahankara, resolving the ahankara, resolving the I sense. Resolving the ahankara means, I sense means what? Understanding what actually the I is. Because we don't say yes, so I, the self, am consciousness. This understanding has to happen. This must be a doubtless understanding. And this I, the self, am consciousness. And this consciousness is the only secondless, non-dual reality, the truth of the entire cosmos. Which means, I am consciousness, the entire universe also is nothing but consciousness. Which means, is I and this division, this duality, which is relatively there, the I also is non-substantial nama-rupa. This also is non-substantial nama-rupa. Two pronouns, I and this, both are non-substantial forms the names and forms, actually speaking, the substance of I and this is one and the same consciousness, which is, we say, essential nature, swarupam of everything that is here is consciousness, which is Brahma. So, aham Brahma means what? I the self am consciousness, which is the truth, only truth of everything that is here. Which means there is no second truth, the reality, other than consciousness, implied by the term Brahma. So that must become very clear, for which you don't immediately go, he says, kramena. So, slowly, clearly, without any contradiction, without any contradiction, you go step by step, kramena. That is, even in Panchakosha Prakriya, in Taittiriya Upanishad, we understood the same. So, here also he says, kramena. Jnanecha, jnyecha, trivide jnane, trivide jnye, kramena vidite. When you sequentially, properly, step by step, you understand trivida jnanam, trivida jnayam. In the threefold is three, the trivida jnanam, which is the cognitions obtaining in waking state, you understand, and the corresponding objects of cognitions obtaining in the waking state, you understand that they're all mithya. Objects of cognitions have their existence, can enjoy their existence only when there are cognitions. The cognitions are possible only when there are vrittis. Isn't it? In the mere vrittis cannot become cognitions if there is no consciousness. Therefore, what is the cognitions also change when the vrittis change. The objects of cognitions also change in when you when you go to dream, the waking is not there. It also changes. But what is unchangingly there is vijnayam, the turiyam, the consciousness. Similarly, we understand this trivida jnanam, when you say, also the cognitions and also the corresponding objects of cognitions in subtle form, in the within the mind alone, in the form of thoughts, they're all, the vrittis, they don't have independent existence. They're all mithya, they object to change, time-bound. All the cognitions are time-bound. What is important thing is, there is no the world of objects of experience minus cognitions, minus vrittis. And the vrittis are subject to change. The world also will collapse for you when the vrittis are not there. That's what happens in sleep. That's what will happen in after death. That's what happens in even the dissolution. You know that once in 1,000 Mahayugas, what happened, the whole Jagat resolves means, what happens to you, you will be how you are like in sleep. How you are in sleep every day, nothing happens to you. You are very safe and comfortable. You get up every day, morning, next day. Nothing happens to you and the world dissolves, the world comes back. Similarly, the same thing happens for you even in death. In the death also, the world will not be there for some time for you. The world will come back again, but you will be safe and comfortable. So also in dissolution, which happens once in 1,000 Mahayugam, Sahasrayuga Pariyantam, 1,000 Mahayugams, if you don't know, go to the 8th chapter Gita, understand what is a Mahayugam. Okay? 1,000 Mahayugams, I'll see. We say Sahasrayugam, that is one day of Brahmaji, we say. Even in dissolution, it's something incomprehensible mathematics for us. Okay? And even then, you will be safe and comfortable like how you are in sleep, which means nothing happens to you. The world dissolves, comes back, becomes unmanifest, becomes manifest, you are there. But when does the world exist? Does the world have independent existence minus you? Where's the world minus you? The world will not be there once the cognitions are not there. The corresponding experiences are there, then there is a corresponding objects of experience. There's a world, corresponding world of objects. Therefore, the cognitions themselves are not permanent. They will change. Why? Vrittihi kshanika. All the vrittis are fleeting and they're momentary. The vrittis are momentary. Vrittis will change. The state of experience will change. The state of mind will change. Then the object of experience also will change. What is unchanging is what? Only vigyayam. The kramena vidite. When you understand the waking cognitions and the corresponding objects of cognitions. And also the dream cognitions, corresponding dream objects of cognition, experiences obtaining in dream. So also in deep sleep state also there is I and this. There is jnanam and jnayam. But in deep sleep state, this jnanam and jnayam, cognitions and the corresponding objects of cognitions, they still the duality is there, but it is dharma. It is what? It is unmanifest in potential form. But you cannot differentiate the jnanam and jnayam difference. You cannot understand when you are in sleep. But you can when you on waking up, you can understand. Because unmanifest potential dvaita anubhava is there, which is there in deep sleep state. That jnanam and jnayam is a karana prapancha, then sukshma karya prapancha, then stula karya prapancha. All the three, that's why the three pairs, jnan, quietly he does not even use the term experiencer. He just says cognitions and corresponding objects of cognitions. In each state of experience, that's what you have. And they're all subject to change. But what is there? One thing invariably, unchangingly, continuously present in all these discontinuous, mutually exclusive states of experiences is the turiyam, the consciousness. The consciousness alone is what? Is of the nature of self-effulgence, self-evident, and if we say it is self-revealing, it is independent, it is self-existent, we say that's why it is satyam. And the consciousness is the turiyam, is the substance, only substance. Everything else, including I, is what? Non-substantial nama-rupas. And the turiyam is Brahma, which is the truth of the whole. Va aham Brahma asmi, when you say Jagad also is what? Brahma. Jagad Brahma, aham Brahma. Reduce everything into two pronouns, I and this. Reduce the whole into two, indicated by two pronouns, I and this. Then reduce the two into one. What is that? Aham turiyam. Idam also is nothing but turiyam. So what is now, how many realities are there? Is it one, secondless, non-dual? Ekam advayam, advitiyam, advayam, chaitanyam, turiyam. And this, you don't overnight, you don't come up immediately, kramena. No, you really clearly you arrive at it, unleashing these three states of experience. When you understand, when this becomes very clear for a person, then that person is a Mahatma, Mahadhihi, man of great vision. No, the man of the great minded, the great intellect, is the one who's, in whose intellect this ignorance is resolved. Is it for him this vision is there, all that is here is only Brahma, Ahamidam Sarvam, I am the whole, that vision is there for him. Iha Bhavati, here in this life itself it happens. And for him Sarvatra Sarvajnata Bhavati, wherever he goes, for him everywhere everything is Brahman alone. Everywhere, everything is Brahman. Everywhere, for him, the knowledge of Brahman is there. Isn't it? This we have already seen last class. I wanted to repeat it, that's all. Because it's a nice verse. Then, so with this, he concludes the teaching with what now? Again, the 90th Karika, he wants to remind us of four factors to be remembered. What are the four factors which have to be remembered? In fact, he wants to just mention again the disciplines. What is it which we have to remember? Who? Any spiritual aspirant, a spiritual seeker. Now, what if you are really a spiritual aspirant, what you should remember, what you must remember choicelessly, now he wants to present them here in the 90th verse, 90th Karika. Why? If this vision has to become very clear for me, Kramena. For me, you don't need too many analysis, okay? This Avasthatriya Prakriya itself has to give you this vision. Oh, what is waking state experience? One pair of jnanam jnayam, a pair of jnanam and jnayam, cognitions and objects of cognitions. What is dream? What is Vishwataitna, Taijasav and Hiranyagarbha? What is Dvitiya Padaha? This is a pair, set of jnanam, cognitions and objects of cognitions. If this is what? We have these three pairs of cognitions and the corresponding objects of cognitions. Now, the six, this is what? This we analyze, we understand, it must become very clear, yes, everything is mithya. Turiyam alone satyam. And all that is here is only turiyam. It's not just I am consciousness. Everybody else here is consciousness, essentially. Everything else is consciousness. All that is here is essentially consciousness. This must become assimilated, unforgettable, ever remembered, clear vision. How many waves you are seeing jumping in the ocean, also how much ever you see, you are so clear. It's so many waves come and go, you see the entire ocean, you are very, very clear. All that is here, this entire ocean, all these waves are nothing but water. How clear you are. That vision must be here. For that, if the knowledge has to take place, then what he says here is, that's why then these four have to be remembered by a sadhaka, a spiritual aspirant. He says here, let us see this karika now, 90th karika. He yagne yapyapakyani. He yapyapakyani. Vigne yan yagrayanataha. Vigne yan yagrayanataha. Teshaman yatra vigneyat. Tra vigneyat upalambhastrishu smritaha. He yagne yapyapakyani. Vigneyan yagrayanataha. Teshaman yatra vigneyat.
Teshaman yatra vigneyat.
Upalambhastrishu smritaha.
Upalambhastrishu smritaha.
He says, there are four factors. What are they? Heyam. Number one, he says, Heyam, let us read the Sanskrit words given in this Karika. Heyam, one. Gneyam, number two. Apyam, number three. Pakyam. Pakyam. Heyam, gneyam, apyam, pakyam. When they put together, we say, Heya Gneyapya Pakyani, plural form. So what is Heyam, what is Gneyam, what is Apyam, what is Pakyam, what are the four factors? You have to remember here, understand here. He says, Vigneyani. Vigneyani means they have to be clearly understood. Vigneyani, these four factors have to be understood clearly, not simply, seriously, clear. Once you understand clearly means, you understood clearly means, then you won't have any confusion what to do. Isn't it? He's actually speaking, he's emphasizing again the Purushartha, etc. Vigyayana, this has to become very clear in the very first hand. Who says what? Agrayanataha, in the very beginning, first what should be clear for a spiritual aspirant? These four factors must become very clear. So what he says is, what are they? Agrayanataha, first thing, the very beginning, initially, Vigyayani, this should be known very clearly. What? These four factors should be known. What are they? Heyam. What is Heyam? The word Heyam, Geyam, Apyam, Pakyam, all these words are actually the potential passive participles. But no, should be given up, like that. So here, Heyam means to be rejected, to be avoided. What should be rejected? What should be avoided? What should be ignored? What should be, you know, not, what should not be given importance? What should not be taken into account is what now? Heyam. He says, entire anatma prapanchaha comes under the category of Heyam. Idam, whatever is indicated by idam, this entire objective universe is to be negated, rejected as what? Mithya. Which means, when you negate this entire objective universe as mithya, you are rejecting it, means what? You are not considering it as satyam. When once you understand it is mithya, what should you remember? Mithya means that which is as though, that which is not there really, that which has no independent existence. If it is mithya, if it is not really there, which is as though, which has no independent existence, cannot be this, no, be permanent. It is impermanent, time bound. So that which is as though, that which is has no independent existence, and that which is really not there, which is as though, means subject to time, isn't it? Therefore, the time bound jagat cannot be definitely a source of eternal happiness. An ephemeral world cannot be a source of eternal happiness. It is not, which means understanding that the world cannot be a source of security or happiness. So, understanding this, this world should be negated, rejected. It's called Heyam. If the world is to be rejected as mithya, which means if we depend upon this world for security and happiness, it is like, it is like trying to sit on a water bubble. Seeing the big water bubble, how beautiful it is, that we go and sit on it. What will happen? No, depending on the world is like that. Which means we can enjoy the world of objects. We need not, see here, immediately we need not run away from the world. You need not, Heyam also implies what? We need not run away from the world. We cannot run away from the world. We have to be in the world with the world. Okay? Enjoying the world. there can be concern, there can be affection, there can be care, there can be give and take. But one thing we should remember, this world, you can have all the transactions, but emotionally, no, physically you can be living in this world, but emotionally we should be independent of the world. Physically you cannot distance yourself from the world. Okay, so this is called Heyam. The first fact we understood what? Physically we had to be with the world, but emotionally we had to become independent of the world. Emotion means what now? Not being dependent on the world for happiness and security. Why? Because the world is definitely not a source of happiness and security. Isn't it? It can be children, it can be husband, it can be wife, it can be relative, it can be friends. Even, to be frank, he has to be taken to the extent of what? Even Shastram, even Bhagavan. Initially, we have to shift the dependence from the world to Bhagavan. Bhagavan to Shastram. So, Shastram and Guru, all the three. You can't suddenly directly shift your dependence. We are helpless. We have to shift the dependence, emotional dependence, okay? Physically, we can be with the world without, understand, it is not possible. But emotionally, the emotional dependence has been shifted from the world to Bhagavan, Shastram and Guru. Later on, shift the dependence from Guru, Shastram and Bhagavan also. Dependence must be only on yourself. The self-dependence. Understand? Directly you cannot become self-dependent. In depending upon the self, what happened to Bhagavan? My God, people get scared. Then Bhagavan is not an object for you anymore. Bhagavan is your very nature. The all-pervasive reality, the truth which alone is there as everything, is there as very yourself. Understand? Therefore, Heya means understanding this world being not a source of happiness and security, the world being mithya, and understanding its nature, rejecting it. Not giving importance to it, not being dependent on it emotionally, is what? Heyam. That's a heyam. The first word, heyam. What should be negated? Like binary answer. What should be negated, rejected? What should not be depend upon? The world, the objective universe. If objective universe means, now you should know what is objective universe. What else is there now? Non-negatable. That is indicated by the next word. What now? Gnyeyam. Gnyeyam means that which alone should be depended upon, which alone should be, which alone should be accepted, which alone should be given importance, is what? Gnyeyam. That which is to be known, attained, which is what? The Turiyam Chaitanyam. The Turiyam is the only Satyam. The Turiyam is the consciousness which you understood, arrived at as your very Swarupam, is the only Satyam. That's the only source of happiness and security. Nothing else is the source of happiness and security, isn't it? Therefore, Gnyeyam. What should be attained in terms of knowledge is the Turiyam. What should be depended upon for security and happiness is the Turiyam, one's own self. This is Gnyeyam. So, the Heyam implies Mithya, Gnyeyam tells what is Satyam. Okay, to have this knowledge, clear understanding of what is Heyam, what is Gnyeyam, what is to be negated as mithya, what is to be understood as satyam, for that, what should be the apyam? Apyam means to be attained. This word apyam stands for all the disciplines, the values, what you need to have. In fact, the apyam stands for fourfold qualifications. One has to become, what is time bound? What is permanent? What is ephemeral? What is eternal? Must become very clear. Nitya anitya vastu vivekaha. No, then thereby vairagyam. Once you know what is permanent, what is impermanent, permanent alone can give me what I am seeking, impermanent cannot give me what I am seeking, that is very clear. Naturally you grow out of desire for impermanent and naturally discover passion for the permanent. So discovering passion for eternal, for the eternal, will help you discover dispassion towards the ephemeral. This is called what? Vairagyam. So viveka, vairagyam, and also what? Then all the disciplines, shamaha, dhamaha, uparamaha, titiksha, you know, all of them also comes here, and then definitely moksho me bhuyaditi tivra icha, understanding the value of moksha. See, people are really confused about the word moksha also. Moksha means many people think of the death only. That is why nobody wants moksha. People, moksha mean people think of old age, deathbed, and also sick bed, sickness, and then leaving this, dying and going away. That's not true. If moksha is discovering the fullness, is already there, the most valuable for us, isn't it? Therefore, what else is there? Therefore, understanding the value of moksha, then being committed to the pursuit of it in terms of knowledge of the truth, that is, for these fourfold qualifications, definitely one should have. Not only that, one follow all the values. No, Swamiji's value of values book, remember, the whole book should become assimilated. Values, all these, amanittam, adam, bittam, ahimsa, kshantra, arjavam, they all come under this category of this apyam. Not only that, then shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, shastram, isn't it? They, all these things, they come under the category of the apyam. That means following these. It's called apyam. Apyam. Then pakyam. The pakyam is something interesting. The pakyam actually is a potential passive participle of the root pach. No, pachanam. No, pachya. We say that. Cooking. Pakya means to be cooked. What is it now? No, what should be negated? What should be known? What should be depended upon? What should not be depended upon? What should be followed strictly? Disciplines. Now, what should be cooked? All of you thinking, what should be cooked? No. No. Here, to be cooked means to be made ineffective. Why? Anything cooked, the grains which are soaked and cooked cannot germinate. Understand? Which means there are certain things which need not be eliminated physically, need not be really eliminated. But they can be made what? No, they can be made powerless. They can't germinate, they can't sprout. And this, making the seeds, no, making the seeds ineffective, that they cannot sprout and they cannot germinate, no? We say what? To be cooked, isn't it? The cooked, they call it pakyam. Suppose all the seeds, including pumpkin seeds, roast, eat, very tasty, eat, but they can't germinate, isn't it? That's called bharjanam. Bharjanam means roasting. Bharjita means roasted. So pakyam also means what? Roasted, cooked, which means they cannot cause any problem. That's called. So what should be here? What should be made ineffective here? Actually, our likes and dislikes, ragadvishas. So to be pack, we specially, even though he mentioned about all the disciplines under the title of apyam, here he talks about what? Mainly managing the ragadvishas. Ragadvishas, the likes and dislikes. They have to be likes and dislikes. How can you make your likes and dislikes ineffective? Which means you can fulfill your desires of likes and dislikes, no problem. Which means being conscious of only fulfilling the likes and dislikes which are ethical, which are righteous. So consciously avoiding, eliminating, refraining from the unethical, non-righteous, the likes and dislikes are opposed to dharma, opposed to the Shastra teaching. Anything not accepted by the Shastram, I refrain from. It's called what? This is managing one's, avoiding even binding ragadveshas. What is a binding ragadvesha? What is a non-binding ragadvesha? See, the non-fulfillment of ragadveshas cause misery, then those are binding desires. Non-fulfillment of ragadveshas, they don't really cause misery, then they are non-binding. Which means I cannot survive without sugar in coffee. Means what? Not having sugar is a very pain for me. Means it's a misery, isn't it? This is a binding here. So also anything unethical, anything which makes you go, the ragadveshas which impel you to go against the dharma is what now? Binding. Unethical, non-righteous, shastra viruddha. The things which are opposed to shastra, what shastram says, isn't it? So you say they're all ragadveshas. So ragadveshas have to be really taken care of. That is what implied by the word pakya. What should be, you can have ragadveshas, you cannot undo the ragadveshas, you cannot kill them, you can roast them, okay? You cannot completely undo, which means you can really cook them, make them, isn't it, powerless. That is what is here, meant by the word pakyam. Then afterwards he says, first these four factors have to be understood very clearly. After he says, tesham, of these four factors also, anyatra vigneyat upalambas trishu smritaha. Understand these four factors, then later on, finally, what you need to understand is, these three factors of the four are mithya. Upalambaha. What are the three factors which are mithya here? Heyam is mithya. Pakyam is mithya. Then apyam also is mithya. What is satyam? They're all vyavaharikam, satyam only. What is absolutely real is only vigyayam. Gyayam. Isn't it? Turiyam Chaitanyam, one alone is Satyam, one alone is Paramarthikam Satyam. Even the rest of the three, the three of the four are all Mithya. Trishu upalambaha means what? Smritaha means even the rest of the three except the gyeyam, which implies the turiyam chaitanyam, everything else, all these other factors are all mithya. Anyatra vigyayat means it has to be understood that gyeyam alone is satyam. Are disciplines the absolute? No. Relative. Only relative. Should I follow then? No, you have to follow. See, what is relative? That's why anything relative should not become the absolute. That is the problem. And in military, you know what happens? Disciplines. Now. See, we should not become military officers also. We have to give importance for disciplines. We have to be a little flexible. No. What I am saying, disciplines are important, values are very, very important, dharma is so important. There is no way of preparing the mind for jnanam. You can never have contemplative disposition of the mind unless you live a life of dharma, but it is not the absolute, relative. Relative means what? Vyavaharikam satyam. This means what? Mithya. What about this? No, ragadvesha management, taking care of ragadveshas, diseases, relative, mithya. Because any ragadveshas themselves are mithya, relative. What about this jagat? Mithya, of course it is mithya. But what is paramarthikam satyam then? Gyeyam, vigyeyam, isn't it? The turiyam alone is paramarthikam satyam. This, even though Shastram emphasizes the four factors, understand why they are emphasized, understand their importance, understand the relevance of using them. At the same time, we should not get stuck with them. We should be focused on our absolute. Understand? This is what is said in this 90th Karika. Okay. Then, from the 91st onwards until the 100th Karika, last Karika, these 10 Karikas, Gaudapada Acharya is going to present the summary of the teaching. Summary not in relative sense, not in the actual sense, which means he is concluding his Karika, the teaching he is giving in his Karikas. Which means you can say it is a concluding summary. Upasamhara pataha. Upasamhara pataha, the teaching given as a concluding summary in these 10 verses, 10 karikas. Is it clear? Let us see the 91st karika now.
Prakrityakashavadjneyah.
Sarve dharma anadayah.
Sarve dharma anadayah.
Vidyate nahi nanatvam.
Vidyate nahi nanatvam.
Tesham kvachana kinchana.
Tesham kvachana kinchana.
So in these 10 karikas from 91st, the main thing what he says is, what is that which is fundamentally, choicelessly sought after by every human mind is happiness, fullness, security, irrespective of who the person is, which culture the person follows, he belongs to, which nationality he belongs to, has, irrespective of who it is, every human mind is fundamentally, he is seeking these things, security, happiness, fullness. And here he says, what is sought after by you is actually yourself. not even, he doesn't even say it's within you. What you are searching for outside is not, he doesn't say it is within you also. It is in yourself, but it is very you. The fullness which you are seeking through everything is actually yourself. That is your very nature. The security which you are searching for, seeking, is actually, that is very you. You are the absolute security. You lend security to the world, in fact. There is no security other than yourself. Similarly, even the happiness, which you are, the sorrowlessness, the problemlessness, painlessness, which the happiness which you are seeking also is your very swarupam. So the fullness, happiness, security does not have a beginning, does not have an end, does not undergo change, does not come, does not go, which is always, which is everywhere, which is in everything as everything. Okay? The fullness which is sought after is always there. Everywhere it is there. In everything it is there. As everything it is there. That alone is. Fullness alone is. As what? As the very swarupam of the reality. Happiness alone is as the very swarupam of the reality. Security is the very nature of the reality. In fact, that reality, the whose swarupam is fullness, limitlessness, now happiness, anandaha, the security is actually you. You are that. You are that security. No, that's what the actual, this is the basic teaching, and that he, no, again, reinforces in these verses. Let us see here. He says, sarve dharmaha. He uses the term dharmaha, all the beings, all the jivas. Dharmaha here should not be taken as righteousness or anything. Sarve dharmaha means all the jivas, all the individual beings are sarve dharmaha, anadayaha. Anadayaha means they're all beginningless. Beginningless means what? Uncreated, birthless, which means timeless. All the jivas are timeless, beginningless, anadayaha. And he says, they should be understood to be prakashavatu. Prakashavatu. All the jivas are, like this space. They're comparable to the space. Every jiva is comparable to space. Comparable to the space. But now, all the jivas are of the nature of all pervasiveness essentially. If the 10 parts are there, each part space is what? No. Space. Each part space is space only. Similarly, we can say that all the part spaces are space. Means what? Similarly, all the jivas are beginningless, birthless, timeless, eternal reality essentially. Not as all the jivas are an eternal reality, therefore they are akashavati. They should be understood to be all pervasive, which means every time we should, what should be remembered here? I, the self, am turiyam, the consciousness, distinct from the sthula, sukshma, karana, sharirani. Distinct from the jnanam and jnayam, turiya pada, dvitiya pada, I am distinct from the waker, dreamer and the one who falls asleep. one who wakes up, isn't it? So Ayaturiyam is distinct from Vishvatayasa Prajna. Is it? Therefore, which means this consciousness definitely is not part of any of this Vishvatayasa Prajna. Not product of the Vishvatayasa Prajna. Not the property of the Vishvatayasa Prajna. But it pervades the pervades all the entire body mind sense complex, and it makes the body mind sense complex conscious and sentient, pervading it. It enlivens, lends life to the body mind sense complex. At the same time, it is in no way limited by the peripheries, boundaries, isn't it? And even when this physical body is cremated, slain, the consciousness is not slain, or not cremated, is not burnt or destroyed. Only thing is, the consciousness and the body is destroyed, the consciousness, isn't it, the sukshma lives, then the consciousness is non-recognizable. So the non-recognizability of consciousness should not be mistaken for non-existent. Understand? Because non-accessible, the consciousness will not be accessible, interactable, isn't it? Recognizable when the sukshma lives. So non-interactability, accessibility should not be mistaken for non-existence of consciousness. What is that? That is why eternal. Therefore, what he wants to say here is, sarve dharmaha, all, so it means every one of us should say what? Essentially, all are one. Essentially, all are one. Physically, differences are there. Relative physically also absolute difference is not there. Relative difference is there physically. Mentally, minds are many, bodies are many, but essentially all are one. The difference also is relative, not absolute. Absolutely, there is no such thing called difference at all. Relatively, there is a physically relative difference. Physically, the relative is a mental difference. Intellectual difference, but essentially there is only non-difference. All the dharmas are anadayaha, all are one, all are akashavati, one indivisible, partless whole. When we look at ourselves in the standpoint of the body, because she goes to Hayes, he goes to Finchley, I go somewhere and then they go to, no, we are divided. We seem to be divided, isn't it? We are. That's why we don't go to, all of this should go to one place. We go to different places. Which means what? We are divided. Physically, the physical differences are there, which is relative, which are relative. The mental, this difference, the standpoint of mind is difference is there, relative. Intellect, there's difference is there, differences are there, which is relative. Absolutely, there's no difference, okay? But we say, essentially, all are one, like one space. The standpoint of, that indivisible, partless whole. Essentially, therefore, sarve dharmaha anadayaha, anadayaha, akashavati, they're all like space, all pervasive like space. Gyanaha, they should be understood. How? Naturally, prakritya, intrinsically. Prakritya means what? Intrinsically means what? It is something unchangeably. Now, I want to be time bound. I want to be born. Which is that you can't do, okay? Which means prakritya means naturally, essentially, intrinsically, all are one. One consciousness which is like an indivisibly partless, indivisible partless whole. They all are anadiyaha. Therefore, when anadihi means there is no birth. Therefore, where is the question of freedom from rebirth? There is no first birth itself is not there. The world should think of second birth, a rebirth. Who has rebirth? If you shift the eye to awareness, there is no birth. Therefore, nahi nanatvam vidyate. This class itself becomes what for you? You have to see this now. As it is said, you should see the fact. Nanatvam nahi vidyate. Nanatvam means plurality, manyness. Bahutvam, isn't it? Na vidyate. How many jivas are here? We can count the bodies here, okay? Bodies, you can count. There are 25 people are sitting here. We can say how many bodies are here. How many minds are here? We can say. Because if we think alike, then I can say, now we are like-minded. Still, minds are different. But I tell you, how many jivas are here? In fact, nanatvam na vidyate. There are not many jivas at all. Why? Because all the jivas are one atma. There is no jiva atma. There is only atma, parama atma. Absolute self. Understand? They are not many. Jivas are many or what? No. How many part spaces are there? Where is the part space? There is only space. Similarly here, how many jivas are there? There is no plurality of the jivas also. What is there? As the jiva is one and the only atma, the parama atma, the absolute self. So, nanatvam na vidyate tesham kvachana. Nowhere or not even little you can look for the plurality of the jivas. Can we say it? Can we this way or that way? Somehow I want to establish the plurality of the jivas. I want to establish the plurality of the pot spaces. No way. Kvachana. Never. Never. Not even little you have any, no? You can find anything to somehow to say jivas are plural. No. There, jivas are not many. In fact, there is no jiva. There is only atma. What is all pervasive reality? Obtaining as the innermost essence of every being here is the turiyam, the consciousness. So you are that consciousness, which means all of us have to, not in a hurry, the whole Mandukya has helped us, what, Kramena, okay, slowly to drag the eye from, even though the knee is paining, aching, the knee aches, then suddenly eye sense go there, oh my God, I have all the pain. Then from there, you have to really drag the eye to consciousness. Okay, nanatvam nasti. Na kvachana, na kinchana. Okay, let us read the next verse. This is a fact, Shankara Bhagavatpada says, mumukshu bihi nigyayaha, a command, if you are a mumukshu, and this is a fact, you need to understand. This is not a cock and bull story. Why? Because when you listen to all these things, only now it sounds nice. Yeah, in the class everything is okay. You know, all the T-series is only Brahma, I am consciousness, jivas are not many. Completely in my practical day-to-day life, when I face problems, the teaching sounds humbug. Rubbish. What is this? I know what my difficulties are. When I have injection, I know. you know, when I have my, I had to, you know, all the pains I suffer, that time, aham brahmasmi, jnanam doesn't help me. I do suffer. When I'm very hungry, then at that time, aham brahmasmi, jnanam doesn't help. I do react, when my, the needs, the biological needs cause a lot of pain in me, I do suffer biological pains, requirements, needs, dharma, isn't it? What say do I have over my own biological needs, physical needs, emotional needs? That, you know, harment, the torment, the really caress, that time, for me, this teaching sounds very funny nonsense. In fact, the most sensible, the beautiful, whether we like it or not, the abstract, absolute fact, authentic fact, isn't it? This fact, it has to be assimilated. Otherwise, what happens? It sounds very, very nonsense for us. Therefore, we may lose interest. But Shankara Bhagavad, in his commentary, he says what? Mumukshubihi. Please understand, always remember, moksha is your choiceless end. That moksha you can never attain. It is your very nature. For that, you need to know your swarupam. But actually, this is what your swarupam, this fact has to be understood. That is the best thing your human mind can do. You know that? The human mind is amazingly talented mind, the capable mind. What it can achieve is, now this mind, all the time it needs a fuel. I want to know, I want to achieve. This mind will never let you sleep, I tell you. It with the mind, as long as you let the mind to be there, it will never let you sleep. It will always, the mind will never become quiet. No, the only one thing which will shut the mouth of the mind, which is what? Which will put the mind quiet, no? Which make the mind quiet is what? This knowledge. This is a fact. Because it's called a mind pishacha, needs this big job, biggest job. No, come on, be contemplative, study Shastram, understand, be contemplative, assimilate this. Then mind will remain quiet. Until then, no. There's no way of discovering freedom other than discovering yourself. Therefore, this is what you are essentially. Sarve dharmaha anadayaha. No, akashavat gyeyaha. Prakritya, naturally, essentially, intrinsically, they are. That is your very swarupam. You can take, no, you can claim the fullness as your very nature. Therefore, there is no plurality of the jivas also. Therefore, kvachana kinchana, nowhere, not even little of plurality is there. And the part of the jivas, which means they are all one. Next verse. Adibuddha prakrityeva.
Sarve dharmasu nischitaha.
Yasyaivam bhavati kshantih. Somrutatvaya kalpate. Adibuddha prakrityeva.
Adibuddha prakrityeva.
Prakrityeva, na? Prakritya? Eva. Prakrityeva. Prakrityeva, it must be. My book doesn't have that one, so okay. Adibuddha prakrityeva.
Adibuddha prakrityeva.
Sarve dharmasu nischitaha.
Sarve dharmasu nischitaha.
Yasyaivam bhavati kshantih.
Yasyaivam bhavati kshantih.
Somrutatvaya kalpate.
Somrutatvaya kalpate.
Again, sarve dharmaha. All the beings, all the individual beings, essentially all the jivas are prakritya eva. Eva naturally, essentially, intrinsically or adibuddhaha. Adibuddhaha means they are all already what? Self-evident. Adibuddhaha means already there is, they are all endowed with the knowledge. Adibuddhaha. Prakritya eva, naturally all the individual beings are endowed with this, the knowledge. What is the knowledge? Which means you already know that you are a conscious being. Who has a doubt here? Tell me. If you say, I doubt whether I am a conscious being, then ask, are you inert then? If you say, I don't know, then ask you to pinch yourself and see. We will immediately say, I know, I am not inert. But also you will say, which means you are so sure you are not inert. Don't you know this or not? I am a conscious being. Which means you already experience yourself as what you are. Already you know doubtlessly that you are a conscious being. Is there or not? It's called Adibuddhaha. From the very beginning, you doubtlessly, all the jivas are endowed with this knowledge that I am a conscious being. Is it true? Are you a conscious being or not? Am I? Let me ask somebody. Let me confirm with the doctor. That confirmation is not required. Nobody needs to confirm whether you are a conscious being or not. This knowledge you are endowed with naturally. Prakritya eva. Which means, how can you say that do not know what you are? Look at this. Shastram presents differently now. You know you are. You know you are a conscious being. My God, you already know this fact. But where is the problem then? Then why we have suffering and problems? I am, I know. I am a conscious being also, I know. Then still why I have problem then? This is Adibuddhaha from the very beginning, without being taught by anybody else, without any instruction, I know very clearly I am a conscious being. All of us know this fact. That's why Adibuddhaha, Sarve Dharmaha Adibuddhaha. But the problem comes not because we do not know what we are. We know we are, we also know what we are. But the problem is because of the, because of the attribution of limitations upon ourselves. The false, not real attribution, because the superimposition of the limitations of the anatma upon the atma. The conscious being. Can you really make really an atma, the conscious being, a limited being? No. But notionally, isn't it? The superimposition of the limitations of the anatma being superimposed upon the atma is the problem. So, Adibuddhaha, we are already aware that we are conscious beings, essentially. Sunischitaha, doubtlessly. Sunischitaha, I mean, we are definite about our knowledge of ourselves being conscious beings. There is no doubt. Then, the problem is caused by what? The adhyaropaha. Even though we say ajnanam is the cause of the adhyasa and adhyasa is the cause of the adhyaropa, the adhyaropa, the error is there, isn't it? Because of the inseparable close proximity. What happens? The anatma's limitations are falsely transferred to the atma, superimposed upon the atma, and thereby all the problems come. The sense of inadequacy, sense of limitation, sense of smallness, and on I is not because we are not aware that we are conscious beings, isn't it? Which means completely the perception changes. Now the superimposition is there. Therefore we can't even say we are absolutely ignorant of the self. We are totally ignorant of the self. So prakritya eva sunischitaha, we are aware that we are conscious beings, but still there is what happens, the limitations, even though you are a limitless reality, which is of the nature of fullness and happiness, still all the limitations, the problems belonging to the body are taken to be your problems, the problems belonging to the mind taken to be your problems, the problems belonging to the intellect are taken to be your problems, isn't it? So we don't leave it, we are not objective towards the mind, towards the intellect, towards the body. The superimposition of the false transference of the limitations of the anatma upon the atma is the actual problem. When we understand this fact, one who understands, I am the consciousness, turiyam chaitanyam, the problems belong to the Vishwa Taijasa Pragya, not to the Turiyam. I am Turiyam, distinct from Vishwa Taijasa Pragya, free from all the problems belonging to Vishwa Taijasa Pragya. One who knows, such a person is a jnani. We'll come back and see. Please go for it. We'll see the second line in the following session. Please have a tea and come back.